Hello, welcome to the self-learning platform by Dr. Shishma Singh. Today we start Unit 10, Women's Movements. Let us have introduction about the unit. Like other social groups, women also have been involved in collective actions, equipped with their agenda, leadership, ideologies, and organizations, in order to have their proper and dignified place in all aspects of life. This unit deals with social movements of women. Women as individuals and as a group are among the most discriminated sections of world population. As a marker of this discrimination, societies across the world have shown preference for boy child. The preference for boy child has taken societies to the extent of killing girl child in the womb itself. All practices of discrimination in societies have been legitimized through either invoking socio-cultural needs or the need to maintain a lineage or for material production. The patrilineality, where descent is through father's lineage, and patrilocality, where the wife and children lives in father's home or village, have added to the preference of the boy child. All these arrangements have the consequence of women being relegated to what Simone de Beauvoir so poignantly termed as the second sex. As the second sex in the material terms means that woman is quite often denied political, economy, and even cultural rights. She quite often does not have right to inherit property along with her male siblings. She does not have either equal access to education and health care equal to the male counterpart. She is also perennially in the danger of being the target of male violence within the family or outside. Historically, religion, polity, and society have been so organized as to make her position vulnerable to any discriminatory trends in the society. There have been protests and revolts by people, including women, to question such discriminatory arrangements within the society. They, however, remained at the level of individual protest, while the structure and power of patriarchy being so strong as to crush them or appropriate them easily into the existing arrangements. It is during the last 200 years or so that the modern times have provided the space, ideas, and principles of organizations to people to question as well as alter the arrangements by either aligning the women's protest with the parallel movements to change the society, or by incorporating the basic digits of modernity into the women's movement. Nationalist movement in the colonial countries, socialist and communist movement, and feminist movement across the world, and the larger trend of democracy have been some of the powerful streams that presented themselves as catalysts of change in this regard. In the increasingly globalizing world, women's issues and concerns are becoming increasingly part of the larger movements. The relationship between women and social movements is quite intricate. First, one is not very clear as to where and how do women figure in the broad contour of different social movements. It has been found that women were merely part of the mobilized section of some movement whose overall objectives are detrimental to women's interests and concerns. For example, the fundamentalist movement across the globe have tended to circumscribe women's role as merely that of a mother or provider of children to the community, as defined by the group. The glorification of the mythical German woman by the Nazi ideology has its counterpart in many other groups. In fact, any move to give the rights of ownership of property, marriage, etc., have remained in the domain of the personal, and any change in that domain invites the wrath of the section of the fundamentalist groups. Any demand to take women's issue and rights away from the community to the larger public domain has been opposed by the fundamentalist groups. Second, related to the nature of social movement is whether it allows the space for a articulation of issues and concerns regarding women. Indian National Movement was one such movement whose democratic and secular character had given the space for many democratic movements to spring up and voice their concern. Women's movements in India is one such example where the contours of the movement coalesce with the mass face of the Indian National Movement. The notion of equality, idea of justice and democracy, central to the core of the movement of national liberation, were also the premises of the women's movement. Historically, changing conditions of women and their status constituted the core of the social reform movement that began to take shape in the early decades of the 19th century. By the early decades of the 20th century, this core is enlarged by bringing two issues. That is, equality of women in modern political, social and cultural realm, and women's role in the developmental process into its ambit. Though the rapid changes in the society, economy and culture have led to rethinking on many issues, the social movements in the country more or less have directed their concerns about women along this core. Now, let us move to the next point, the colonial context, the vision of the new society and the reform movements. In India, like in many other colonized countries, it was colonialism in the 18th and 19th centuries that brought the new economic and political processes into operation. The coming of the British, the Christian missionaries and their criticism of the Indian society presented a large challenge to the local intellectuals and social leaders. The former attacked the indigenous society and its treatment of women and the lower caste. It presented new organizing principle, equality, or Christianity in some cases. It also brought blueprint for a new organizing principle for the society. While colonialism as a system exploited the colonies and stunted its natural and potential growth, it brought at the same time the new ideas of democracy, idea of equality and justice. The 19th century Hindu, Parsis, Muslim reformers took the challenges and first tried to reform their own societies in the face of such a massive criticism. Ram Mohan Roy, for example, while he attacked the missionaries for presenting distorted picture, was also preparing agitation against sati and the customs of caste inequalities. In the later part of the century, reformers took the questioning of women's condition very prominently, and all the major reform efforts aimed at ameliorating their conditions. Ishwar Chandra Vidyasagar made great efforts in getting widow remarriage society established. Similarly, women's education too was thought to be one of the most important steps in this direction. Veer Singham, Pontulu, Jyotiba Phule, Badrinath Tyagji, Dadabhai Naroji all contributed greatly in this direction. In the later part of the 19th century, when there was in some sense a resurgence of the racial and imperialist ideas, there were a movement among the Indians which tried and asserted its own historical superiority. In this line, that they looked into the past to suggest that woman was in some sense better placed in those days than they were now. In this sense, the problem of integrating women's question into the social movement became more intricate. If the situation became bad, what should one do was the question that led to the major indicators of the movement's thrust. It was to the credit of the intelligentsia who fought the issue of social reform that the issue of women remained in the forefront. One of the most intensely fought issues was the between the social reformers and those who separated the social issues from the political fight. Now let us discuss the issue of priority, social and political. What was the exact nature of women's issue and how should they be addressed? Should they be treated purely as question about social inequality or attitude, or as part and parcel of larger political questions of equality, freedom and justice? These have been serious questions before the reformers as well as the political leaders since the 19th century. It should, however, be noted that except Phule, most of the social reformers were concerned with social reforms among the high caste. The problems like widow remarriage and sati were not prevalent among the lower strata of the society. And low caste in general, irrespective of gender, were deprived of education. To the early reformers, this division did not present itself very sharply, as people like Rajaram Mohan Roy articulated women's cause as integral part of his overall vision for what we now refer to as a modern India. Those who began to mobilize opinion regarding the economy and issues related to the operation of the colonial system in the second half of the 19th century and early part of the 20th century were also concerned with the reforms in society and equality of men and a more just society for the women in a possible modern India. For them, the issue of economy and politics were not disassociated. M.G. Ranade, Veer Singalingam, Pontulu, Gopal Krishna Gokhale, Firoz Shah Mehta, Dadabhai Naroji, Badruddin Thiapji, Jyotiba Phule, and many more actively campaigned for women's education and more public space. The symbol of this unity of the perception was the fact that the annual conference of the Indian Social Conference used to meet at the annual Congress session Pandal itself. The question whether the social issue or the political issue is more important emerged by this time. The Congress realized that differences of perceptions on social issues among different communities were given priority over the political issues. It would breach the unity of people while was essential in the national movement. In ensuring debate between the social and political question, the idea of priority and the location of the principle of equality was very important. Those who opposed the social conference working anywhere close to the Indian National Congress, in fact, did not oppose the principle of equality. But the separation of the social question from the political turned out to be some way detrimental to the women's question. The debate on the issue of age of consent bill, which created an uproar in the 1890s, saw that the progressive voices were opposed quite powerfully by sections which were not in favor of a legislation which was primarily a legislation in raising the marriageable age for women. The attempt to separate the two also impeded any serious theoretical debate on the ways and means to incorporate the women's issue in the movement for social equality. Now the next topic, women's issues during the Gandhian era. In the 1920s, the Gandhian movements brought back a sense of unity on the women's question. Along with the question of untouchability and Hindu-Muslim question, women's condition also became a primary issue to be solved immediately. This was serious implications for the women in general and mobilization of women's issue for the larger political context. The national movement now created the largest possible space for the women to come out and participate on an issue which was ostensibly political, that is, political freedom. But at the same time, the masses, including large number of women, were galvanized to raise their own groups' issues in the process of the movement. In 1927, All India Women's Association was formed as the national body giving voice to some of the issues. This was the time when we have voices from women as well as from other sections for giving women the voting rights as well as representation in any possible government formation. Interestingly, this was also the time that suffrage movement in Europe gained its momentum. Many of the women who were in forefront of the Gandhian movement later became involved in institutions all over the country. These institutions were play a major role in taking up serious social issues and mobilizing and leading movements in later years. In fact, the methods that Gandhi used in his struggle against the colonial state as well as in his movement against the untouchability and on the question of communal conflict became hallmark of some of the movements by women, quite often inspired by these women and institutions. In the 17th, when the women fought in Uttaranchal against the liquor vendors or against the falling of trees, their movement was characterized by Gandhian ways of protest, non-violent and arousing the moral conscience in the opponents. The success of Russian Revolution in 1970s encouraged a large number of women to join the communist movement in India, who were involved in the national movement and women's movements at the same time. In fact, the communist movement helped the later day progressive movement to take up issues related to women as well as women's position as the central political and social question. These communist women continued their legacy of women's movement in the post-independence period. Now we want to wind up this lecture and thank you so much for your attention.